speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
Proverbs 18:22 said, "Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and also the favor of Jehovah." In Hebrews 13:4, he said, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but the whoremonger and the adulterer God will judge." In Matthew 19:6, there the Lord said, "Nevertheless, ye also severally love each one his own wife, even as himself, and let the wife see that she fear her husband." That's Matthew 5:33. Matthew 19:6 says, "Let marriage be held in honor, but what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." This, of course, is indeed direction for our lives insofar as marriage is concerned. It is the second most important decision that you will make in your life as to who you will marry. It is very important for your future. It is very important for your children. It's very important for your posterity. Because if you do not marry one who has the same interest that you have in the things of the Lord, then of course you will end up in disaster. We're thinking today about home fundamentals. And we will be thinking about this for the next few lessons that we shall present. Home fundamentals perhaps need to be seen today more than any other time that has ever been known. Marriage is in distress. The home is in distress. Children's hearts are being broken. And our society seems to be on the decline, in distress. It's changing, the world is. In fact, it has already changed, and of course the world we're living in is drastically different from what our parents lived in, what our grandparents lived in. And if there ever was a place called Mayberry, USA, there's certainly not one now. We need to know then that there are hardships there that we're going to have to meet. And that if we don't have the right directions and the right directives, we'll not be able to meet those things. Because our world is caught up in that fast-paced, rapidly changing society in the history of mankind. It's much like, it seems, an unguided missile that is certainly has plenty of speed, but it just doesn't have any control. In a few weeks ago, we would have talked about the divorce rate being 50%, but now it is 57%. 57% of all marriages will end in divorce. And this is a reoccurring drama of heartbreak that comes with divorce. It'll come with bitterness. It will come with emptiness and loneliness. It will come with regret and failure. There will always attend those who get a divorce. Anyone who has had a divorce will tell you that this is the case. No matter what kind of life they may think the future holds, divorce is not the answer. It is that which shall break many hearts, including the children and those of the participants in this marriage relationship. The average length of marriages today, the new marriages, is 26 months. That really doesn't give a lot of hope to it, does it? If your marriage has lasted a long time, it's because you worked at it. It's because you cultivated it. It's because you worked at all the difficult things to make it what it ought to be. And, of course, your marriage, if you're in Christ, doesn't have to end this way. It doesn't have to be short. It doesn't have to be that which is even rocky. It can be one of the greatest blessings that you've ever known. That is, if you learn the home fundamentals. And that's what we want to help everybody to see, because this is the time when perhaps we need it worse than any other time. Children are indeed neglected much today. In fact, if percentages are to be trusted, it is said that children have increased in being neglected 300% in the last 10 years. Now, you know why that's true, don't you? Because mothers and fathers are not at home. Mothers and fathers are not there to raise the children. Oh, they brought them into the world, but now they don't want to raise them. And they're being neglected to the extent that oftentimes the young people are looking for drugs or they're looking for the wrong things that they should not have, but it's because they don't have parents at home. Now, if you as parents want to really know how to make your home last, I think we can give you some foundation facts here that will be of great benefit to you. You know that one of every four women has been sexually molested? Do you know the reason for that? Do you know that a lot of parents are not raising young men to know what's right and what's wrong? And that they are letting them go into the world and do what they will? You know, they just have to have their time of sowing wild oats. Suicide, of course, follows that. And it's on the increase at an alarming rate. At least one out of every six of us will experience some depression in our lives. We will experience a time when antidepressants and anxiety resulting from agents that are in the world that are causing us problems will cause us to get those drugs that make a multi-million dollar business right now because of so many people wanting to get out of their problems, and yet they make themselves more problems because they don't have the home fundamentals many times. Violence, of course, is rampant. It is that which is not only in our streets, it's in our homes. It is there with the battered wives, the battered children, and even battered husbands sometimes. It's a tragic thing to see the incest that is coming on. But all of this back to the fact that many people do not know the home foundation facts. And if we don't learn those, then we're not going to be a success. That's for true in our marriage relationship. Statistics say that 74% of us will be victims of property crimes, and also 25% will fall prey to violent crimes. Pardon me. That, of course, is a very tragic number that we're talking about, but really because of the lack of home, there we go again, finding where the foundation is of our real difficulties. Now, if you may think that you're going to get married and therefore you can go your separate ways, that you don't have to really build the building blocks of home, that you do not have to see the home fundamentals, I think, sadly, you're going to wake up with disaster in your home. It is a difficult thing to see these young people who are not going to be raised correctly. They're headed for drugs. They're headed for anything that may cause them some excitement. And we need to stop and ask ourselves, are we teaching them? Are we giving them what they need in the home building blocks? We need to be sure that we are. We need to warn them, as the Bible warns them, that this is something that is very sacred. God made it. God intends to protect it. God will bring upon those who do not follow the building blocks the great harm that He has spoken of. Whoremongers and adulterers, He said, He will judge. Well, do you know how to be married? Oftentimes, the building blocks of how to be married have not been studied before young people marry. Are we teaching our young people how to pick a mate? Are we telling them that dating is very important? Even though you may think, well, I'm not going to marry the one I date, you may. It's very possible that you could fall in love with that one. You need to know that the questions have to be asked about whom you're dating. Because if you don't have the home foundation blocks, you may date one that can sink your soul in eternal ruin. Well, have we taught our young people how to resolve marital conflicts? Do they know how to take care of the difficulties that are going to come? Adjustments are going to have to be made. There's never been a marriage relationship that didn't need adjustments. And those adjustments, let me say again, divorce is not the answer for that. Adjustments have to be made while we're here below. For these and other reasons, then, we think today we begin a series of lessons that are highly needful to those in our time. Let us learn as much as we can about the marriage relationship, about where it came from, about how come it to be here, and what indeed God expects of us in this relationship. Of course, we can read many passages of Scripture in the Bible that talk about the marriage relationship. We learn, first of all, in the first three chapters of the Bible, not only where we came from, but that there are three institutions established in the world. One of them, of course, is the government. Another is the home. The next one in the New Testament is the church. But at any rate, we see these things all predicted and some of them fulfilled in the first three chapters of the Bible. How wonderful, then, to see that God made and originated this for man. It is something, then, for man's good, because God never did anything for us that was for our harm. Everything that God ever intended for us was for our good. So all, I think, need to be encouraged to study. To study what God's intentions are for this relationship, to study how God thinks that the teaching of a happy home being established, what it takes to follow the pattern, and indeed how we ought to form our lives according to that pattern in order that the happiness that we desire in the marriage relationship may result. How sad it is to see that which God intended for our happiness and good turned into horror and sadness, but that's what happens when men and women don't follow the foundation blocks of successful marriage. You know, patterns are not by accident. Patterns are there to be followed. Patterns are something that everybody has to see, to trace, to be sure that you put indeed what is intended there. Imitate the pattern. Now, if God had intended to give us a book and then close it up and say, "Now, you don't have to study this. You just bump against the rocks as you go down through the shoals of time. Don't worry about whether or not you do what the will of the Lord says or not," then that's foolish, isn't it? Jesus said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is like unto a wise man who built his house on the rock." But he said, that man who builds his house on the sand is the man who hears my sayings and doesn't do them. And he is like a fool, builds his house on the sand. The rains descend, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell if it was founded on the sand. All of our young people sing those songs. But how many of them apply it to the things of what we do in life? How many of them apply it to whether or not we have a successful marriage? Whether or not we're successful in our work in the church? Whether or not we're successful in our work in the world? You know, we have to follow that pattern, or else we can't have the results that we desire. We can't direct our own steps. Jeremiah said that. "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself." Jeremiah 10:23. "It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps." But therefore we appreciate and rejoice in the fact that God has supplied us every step we need to take. We noticed in the beginning, 2 Peter 1:3, "Seeing that by His divine goodness He has granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us by His own glory and virtue." And all Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, inspired of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Now, since marriage is of divine origin, we have to start there to understand why it's so important for us to follow God's Word. You see, the marriage relationship is that which is made by God, and He's clearly spoken about that. Just as He commanded Moses in Hebrews 8:5, "See that you follow the pattern," He means don't take yourself away from that if you expect to have the blessings that I have for you here. "See that you make all things according to the pattern." So the home is to be built according to the divine model. Did you do that? Did you take that into heart when you chose that mate for yourself? Did you read those verses that pertain to the home with each other? It's important that both the husband and the wife know what these verses teach, because both of them have a responsibility here. A marriage is never made of one. A marriage is always made of two. And therefore, both have to be trained in what the building blocks for a successful home actually are. Now, since marriage is of divine origin, we need to see clearly, number one, it's history, don't we? That's where we would start. Let's start with the origin. Let's see what it is that God intended from the beginning. And that goes into the order of creation, because God's intentions here are drawn out for us. Man is the first created. If you don't understand that, you're going to be at loss for many of the most important things in marriage. Man was the first in the order of creation. In Genesis 2:7, there he talks about it being Jehovah forming man of the dust of the ground, breathing into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Woman is not on the scene then. Man is the first to be created. He commanded man, before he ever made woman, that he should not eat of that tree in the midst of the garden. He did that in Genesis 2:17. And before Eve was ever made, man had already named all the animals. God had to give him the intelligence to do that, of course. But he was able to call them out, name them, and they're still named just as Adam named them in the beginning. You see, man is important to be seen at the very outset of creation. And woman, then, was made from man and for man. And if we don't understand that, we're going to have greater trouble still. Jehovah said in Genesis 2:18, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him." And Jehovah, it says further, caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. And from his side he removed a rib, and with that rib, taken from man, he made woman. He brought her unto man, and the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." Now, in noticing this, this creature, Adam says, as she is brought to him, he has not seen one like in all the rest of the creation. He didn't say, now this is like the others that you're calling animals, because this is not an animal. This is rather, Adam says, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, which means womb man. All right, here she is then, standing beside man, made from the rib under his arm, close to his heart, that she might be his companion. God didn't want him to be alone. He still doesn't. And ladies, when you have a time when your husband is not going to see you at home, you need to make a change. He still needs that companionship. If you're never in the home, he's not going to be able to do what he ought to do in the Lord's plan. Because God made man and woman to complement each other. And indeed, they do complement each other for ideal companionship, love, and marriage. There is nothing new about that, I know, but it's something that you need to remember. And these two are to be made one. Now it says, of course, in 1 Corinthians 7, 3 and 4, let the husband render unto the wife her just due, and likewise the wife to the husband. The wife hath not the power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Now that's talking about the conjugal cohabitation, of course, between husband and wife. Biologically, then, they're one. Biologically, God intended them to be one. In other words, they're made expressly for each other in all the beauty and perfection for this union. And indeed, when we see that, we realize they're to be one in purpose, one in design, one, of course, in aim in life. Now, it's not enough just to be biologically together. It has to be more than that. If it's just that, it will soon fail. But socially, man and woman complement each other. That's the reason Genesis 2:18 said, God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. He needed a social companion. So in noticing that, biologically is not the only way they complement each other. Not the only way God intended for them to be. Companionship, that is so important. Our friend, as it were, against the world. No matter what the world does, if our companion stands beside us, we can face it, can't we? Because God intended this to be the thing, and it's the only thing that God made that He didn't pronounce good. Have you ever thought about that? God, when He made the earth, when He made the animals, when He made the waters, He always pronounced those things good. But when it came to man, He said, it's not good. Oh, it's not good. It's not good for man to be alone. And I'll make here for him a helpmate. After woman was made, He said, that's very good. Very good. So here we notice some building blocks here. We have to understand two things, particularly, in which man and woman complement each other. One, biologically. That's intended. Nothing dirty or nasty about that. And then second of all, socially, in companionship. Many ladies have told me after their husbands have passed away, that was the greatest thing they missed. Not having that companionship. And it is. It's a void. It's a very difficult thing after that time has come. But then third of all, not only is it biologically and socially, it's spiritually. Do you know a man cannot be of himself what he ought to be without a mate that will help him go to heaven? He needs a mate to help him be saved. And young people, when you choose a mate, be sure that you don't choose one that's going to keep you out of heaven. That's a very unwise choice. You need to find one who has the interest of your soul. And so when we talk about spiritually, for instance, Titus 2, 4 and 5, the older women are to teach the younger women that they may train the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sober-minded, chaste, workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, if it is not true in any of these instances that the wife follows these things, the word of God is blasphemed, is it not? Which spoken of with railing accusation against it, because it's not God's will that it be that way. It's God's will that spiritually the woman supports the man. The man supports the woman. So, I see in 1 Timothy 3:2, the bishop or elder, therefore, must be without reproach, that is, of good repute from without, the husband of one wife. He has to be married to be an elder of the church. And it must be only one wife. Temperate, sober-minded, orderly, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Not able to ask someone to teach, but able to teach is what it says. And no one needs a good wife more than elders and preachers in the church. In fact, if you are thinking someday about being an elder of the church, or even a deacon, you better think who you're going to marry. Because that's where the first part of that starts. And so in noticing this spiritually, we need to find a mate who has that like interest spiritually, one who can help us go to heaven, because that's God's intention. That's one of the building blocks of a successful marriage. So biologically, socially, and spiritually, they are one. Then fourth of all, in bearing children, they are one. God never intended, according to His book, that there be trial marriages. That is the farthest from anything God has ever revealed. And if you have in your mind that that's all right, you're wrong. That's called fornication. And it is that which is a sin in every category that's found in the Bible. There's not a single one in which it's missing. And everyone who commits it is in danger of hell. Now, unless you repent, you shall go there. There's no doubt about that. So if you're committing that, you need to think seriously about the building blocks of a home. You cannot do that and have a successful home. He intended for us to be married before we have children. Ephesians 6:4, there He said, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." That's showing a family situation. "But nurture them up in the discipline and the training of the Lord." So here is the head of a family. Ye husbands are charged with raising those children in the right way. 1 Timothy 5:14, there Paul said, "I desire therefore that younger widows marry," number one, "bear children," number two, "rule the household," number three. And by the way, elders rule the church, but they're ruling it under Christ, just as wives rule the home, but they're ruling it under the head, which is the husband. Here's one of the building blocks of a successful home. "I desire therefore that younger widows marry, then bear children, rule the household, and give no occasion to the adversary for reviling, for some have already turned away unto Satan," he said. In Titus 2 and verse 4, there he said that they may train the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children. Isn't that something? They don't love their children until they love their husbands. But care and concern and interest are to be given to those children. Isn't that strange that he'd have to put that down? They're to bear children, 1 Timothy 5:14. They are to love those children, Titus 2:4. They're to have concern and interest in those children. They are indeed charged with the care of those children. You know, it takes three to bring one into the world. It takes a husband, a wife, and Jehovah. And it takes three to raise a child correctly. It takes a husband, a wife, and Jehovah. And if you leave God out of your plans, friend, when you're raising your children, you've missed one of the greatest building blocks of the home. And this is indeed a great blessing if you make it what it ought to be, and a huge responsibility which you shall remember throughout all eternity. You don't get away when you die from that which you have done wrong towards your children or towards your grandchildren. In bearing children, you have a great responsibility, but in rearing children, you also have a responsibility. Here is the rearing of these children that makes their character, that shapes their life, that indeed helps them either to have happiness here and a destiny in heaven at last, or to have that destiny of eternal destruction. It all stems from the home. And fathers who are not Christians, fathers who do not uphold the life of a Christian, mothers who are not Christians, mothers who do not uphold the life of a Christian, their children will see all of that. Parenthood is one of the greatest responsibilities that we'll ever have in life. It is that which brings great rewards or great sorrows. You're the chooser. You are the one as to who or whom will choose to follow the home fundamentals, the blocks by which you can have success in building the home. Home is the most beautiful word in the English language, I suppose, next being mother. But I know that the home, in many times, in many instances, is not the beautiful word presented that we'd like for it to be, because we miss those building blocks for the home. We miss the success of our home, but we can still help others maybe to do theirs correct if we haven't done ours correct. We can encourage those children. We can strengthen them and lift their hands and show them. Maybe we made some mistakes, but those mistakes were not intended and we didn't realize what the outcome would be maybe until it had already come. And we need to apologize to them for allowing those things to happen. We need to repent of the sins in the sight of God, because only a fool hears the Word of God and doesn't do it. I hope that we will not be counted among that number, but that we will be those who will take each of these building blocks, put them in their place, and so conduct ourselves that heaven may be not only our home, but our children's home. That's so important. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, of course, you're not a Christian parent, and we're hopeful that you will hear the Word, believe it with all of your heart, repent of the sins of your life, make the good confession, and be buried with your Lord in baptism. That's the only way one becomes a Christian. It's the only way that you can do what God has taught you to do in order to be a child of God and have the hope of heaven. So if you're not a Christian, let this day be the day that you make that choice. Your children deserve it. You deserve it yourself. Your home deserves it. And then again, if you have been a Christian, but you haven't really lived a Christian life, you've just pretended, you've been a hypocrite, and it's brought reproach on the church, then you need to return today. You need to repent of those sins, come back and make it right, and we'll pray together about those things. So if you're subject in any way, will you come now while together we stand? While we